And welcome back to the Cricket Scotland podcast. I'm Clara Spitzky, and today we'll be talking to Mark Watt and Tim Preston-Jones about all things Cricket World Cup League Two and the Over 60s World Cup. And can you believe we're only 2 months away from the domestic season? Because I definitely can't. I went to my first winter nets at the weekend, and crikey, I'm rusty. Sorry if everyone else is doing a lot better than me. But speaking about the domestic calendar, the key dates have been published. They're on social media and the website if you want to go and look at what's coming up across the country. We've got news from the women's team as well, with their squad being selected for the Desert Springs training camp, with Niamh Muir and Maisie Massera in from the under-19 squad, who you may remember from the under-19 Women's World Cup last year. So they'll be off to Spain at the end of the month to prep for the upcoming T20 World Cup global qualifier later this spring. And our men's squad is flying out to the UAE on the 20th of February for their Cricket World Cup League Two fixtures versus the UAE and Canada, and a T20 series versus the UAE. So lots of cricket coming up for our national teams, which is going to be very exciting. Again, all the squad details for both men and women are on social media and on the website if you want to have a look at those. But I'm going to tell you about the new additions to the squad. Right now, we've got Scott Curry, Brad Curry's brother, coming in from Hampshire. Charlie Terre coming in from Sussex, who played in the 2022 under-19s Men's World Cup with Jack Jarvis. Andy Umead coming up from Somerset, and James Dickinson coming from Heriot's. So some really exciting additions to the squad. And now I'll be talking to Mark Watt, one of James Dickinson's Heriot's teammates, who's currently out in the UAE already after his ILT20 campaign. Mark Watt, welcome back to the Cricket Scotland podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How is it out in Dubai?
It's not a bad place to be at this time of the year. It's lovely. Obviously it's a bit later now. It's still about 25 degrees, so just chilling in the room with a little bit of aircon on, watching the cricket. Can't complain.
Wonderful. Which cricket are you watching?
Just watching Munsey's team at the moment, the Dubai Capitals. It's to see if his team stays in the tournament. So just having a close eye on that. Hopefully they get on well.
Fingers crossed for them. How has the last month been at the ILT20?
Yeah, it's been great. I think I came on the 10th of January. So we had a full week training, meeting the whole squad and team bonding stuff. And it's been really good. Obviously, myself and Chris being in the same team has been amazing. Having someone you know and can go out and do stuff with is brilliant. And to be honest, in that team, it was amazing. We're like a wee family. Everyone got on really well. Sometimes you think, oh God, you're playing with some of the best people in the world. Their egos might be a bit up themselves, but no, they're all absolutely brilliant and down to earth and got on really well with it, absolutely everyone. So it's been a really enjoyable month. Cricket-wise, it's been tough. Obviously, myself and Chris. I played four. I think Chris only got the one opportunity in the first game. So, we'd both want to play more. I was quite happy with playing four. I was pretty surprised. I felt a little bit bad for Chris. He trained so well. He's bowling absolute rockets. And we've all seen how good a player he is. So, I was a bit surprised he only got the one game. I thought he was going to, get a really good chance. But when you're there and you're playing those competitions with some of the best spinners or seamers in the world, you learn so much. And also, they're flying in and out to go and play international duty, and you're trying to kind of do the math in your head. You're like, oh, if so, I had Mahesh Dikshana from Sri Lanka, who's absolutely incredible, such a nice guy. And I was thinking, oh, if he's flying back to Sri Lanka in 4 days, he's only going to play this amount of games. I've got a really good chance of coming in for the back end of this tournament. And then the day before he left, there was like a squad announcement. We've just signed Adil Rashid and Liam Livingston. And then you're like, oh. So
Yeah.
that's the way franchise cricket is, but also it's so good to get those bowlers and you can chat and learn off them. Remember what they say, practice it yourself, and then kind of relay that back to people back home, spinners, up and coming spinners as well. So it's a really good like full circle learning experience. It was great to get some game time as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it sounds like there's a crazy period of time at the moment. There seems to be franchise leagues happening literally everywhere that you could possibly think of, and everyone's flying back and forth. And as you say, like cricket isn't the hugest pool of players, so obviously these franchises have got to pick and choose where they can. But as you say, having that just wealth of experience and wealth of knowledge to learn from, like even though you and Chris might be a little bit disappointed not to get as much gameplay as you might have hoped, but is that still a valuable opportunity in itself, just being around these people for you, not just as a player, but as a fan of cricket? Is that a kind of like pinch me moment for you?
It was at the start, and then you kind of get to know. This could sound so cliche, but they're just guys, and they're just going out and bowling a ball like everyone else, like people doing the thirds or the first or whatever on a Saturday. So, it's more about their mentality, I would say, more so than kind of technical things or anything. It's more about how they see the game, how aggressive they want to be bowling, reading game situations, all that kind of stuff. I find really interesting. And especially, bowling at small grounds like the Grange on good wickets, how do you go about it compared to bowling on big boundary spinning wickets? So just chatting to them about that kind of stuff, it is amazing. And you do feel very lucky that you're in this environment learning off all these great players. But also you need to back yourself and know I'm just as good as them on their day. I can go out and do the same things they can do. You kind of need to have that self-belief in these franchises, because you'll have a game where you might go for 30 off and over, but you've got a game the next day, you need to dust yourself off and go again. So it's quite a crazy world, and your performances can go up and down, and it's more about staying level mentally and, okay, I had a bad day today, I'm gonna smash it today. And yeah, that's the kind of main thing that I've come off. You're not gonna be amazing every game. But you just got to keep backing yourself no matter what.
Unfortunately, it is the end of your tournament for your team. However, as we've just been speaking about just off air, you are staying out there until the Cricket World Cup League 2 starts. So, how are you going to spend the week? You've got a few days, a week and a few days, I suppose, until you're going again. What are your plans?
Just a little bit of downtime, to be honest. It's been quite a hectic month. A lot of cricket, a lot of bowling in the nets, a lot of carrying the drinks at the games. So yeah, just a little bit of downtime, and then a busy month with Scotland. So yeah, just looking forward to putting my feet up, go to the gym, spend a bit of time in the sun, and yeah, that's it really.
Just charge up, ready to go again.
A little bit of golf in there as well. You got to get some golf in.
Yeah. Who's the best on the Scotland squad at golf?
Annoyingly, George Munsey, he's very good. I think he got
Oh.
offered a scholarship thing when he was younger at Loretto or something like that. So, annoyingly, him, and he does tell everyone about how good he is as well. Says that he's off six at the moment, handicap wise. And that might not mean that much to you, but he's completely lying. He's a lot better than that. So, yeah, definitely him.
Okay, so perfect. So you won't be playing George in the next few days.
No, I think I actually will be. Yeah, I'll be playing a bit with Muns. He's out here as well, so yeah, why not?
Might as well. So you missed out on the squad hike in the Pennants the other day. Were you not jealous of February in Scotland?
When I first read the message, I was like, oh, I'm glad I'm not on that hike. But looking at the photos and stuff, I actually looked really good fun, and I do miss all the boys. I do miss all the boys. So it did look like a great day and a good team bonding day. But yeah, I think I actually had a game that day as well, so I couldn't
You were busy, yeah.
yeah, I was busy.
So, are you excited to get back together with the team ahead of this Cricket World Cup League 2 series?
Yes, I honestly cannot wait. We're getting the band back together. It's been far too long. I think our last game was end of July, I want to say. And yeah, for an international team to not have to have that long a time off is pretty brutal. So it's gonna be hard games. UAE have been playing in all these tournaments. They have to have players in each team, and the T10 before that. So they're coming in ready to go. I've had a few of their players in my team, and they're really excited for it. The boys have been playing a lot of cricket, so it's gonna be some tough fixtures. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to being out here with the boys. And yeah, it's been a while since we've had that. Since we've last had our last tour game, and they're always good fun to be out here with your mates.
And speaking of the squad, we've got some really exciting new additions, and I just wanted to get your thoughts. on this kind of new-ish squad?
Really exciting. This is new faces coming in. Obviously, I've bowled a lot with James Dickinson in regional cricket and also for Heriot's. I know how good he is. And he's been chomping at the bit to get into the squad. He's been at every training session, bowling lovely. Any additional training sessions, he's always coming in bowling at the guys. You know, he's putting the hard yards and he really deserves this opportunity. So I'm really pleased for him. Also, we've got Scott Curry. I don't know an awful lot about him. I had one of his teammates in my Charger Warriors team over here. So I was asking a few questions and he's singing his praises a lot. James Filler, he was saying how good he is and how much of a professional he is. So really excited to see what he's about. If he's anything like Brad, I'm sure he'll be great on and off the field.
So, for those who don't know at home, Scott and Brad Curry are brothers. They don't just happen to have the same last name, which would be quite fun. But yeah, they are brothers. So yeah, that is going to be really exciting. And as you say about James Dickinson, he's worked so hard, as you say, to get where he is. So hopefully we'll see him have a go. And who else have we got? Andy Umead is a new addition to the squad.
Oh yeah, of course. Umid, I've used to play in the same under-19s team as Umid, so it's gone back quite a few years since we last wore the Scotland shirt together. So I'm really excited to have Umid back. I actually played him last season, Derbyshire versus Somerset in the Royal London, and I think he got 160, I want to say,
Oh, easy.
and he smashed me everywhere. So it'll be nice to be on the same team as him I didn't really like bowling at him on that day. So yeah, he was going to be a great addition. Know he made really well, and he's a great guy. And yeah, his cricket's just absolutely smashed over the past 2 years. So really excited to see him back in a Scotland shirt.
I obviously don't have many opinions about squad selection, but I think from what I've seen on social media, it sounds like it's a long time coming for Andy to get in the squad.
He's putting a lot of hard yards over the past couple of years. I think he took a little bit of time out, which has obviously done him really well, and he's found his love for the game again and wanted to come back and represent his country. So I'm absolutely buzzing for Umid. He's going to be a great addition. All the boys know him really well and know how good a player he is, and we know how good a player he was back when he was playing for Scotland 19s. So yeah, I'm really, really excited to be in the same team and see what he has to offer.
And Charlie Taylor as well is the fourth new addition to the squads. What do you know about him?
Not an awful lot. I was asking Hamza what's he like on the hike, and he says he's a really good lad and he'll fit into the squad well. So excited to meet him. He's got loads of potential. I've heard his name over the past few years, and it's just really exciting to get some more youngsters on our squad. Just really looking forward to this month and see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting having played on these grounds, learned a bit about the wickets and how it's all working. Can you give us a little snippet on what you might be writing down in your little notepaper in your pocket?
To be honest, I'll be writing quite a bit down, I think. It's more so Gilly actually has been messaging me an awful lot, asking what the conditions are like and what kind of stuff they can do back home to replicate the conditions out here, which is obviously tough. The conditions have been actually pretty difficult for the batters. UAE, these pitches have been getting used a lot at the moment, so it might be a little bit low, a little bit spinny. Variable bounce. So I've just re been relaying that stuff back to Gilly for the upcoming tournament, and so he can tell the boys what to kind of expect and what stuff to kind of train on in training. It's going to be. I think it's going to be quite tough for the batters out here this month. But obviously, time will tell. I think there's a good 10 days or so before, from after the tournament to the start of the Cricket League World Tour. So the groundsmen might be able to work their magic and get their wickets nice and flat, which I'm hoping they don't do. It's more analysis stuff. I'm not really going to change all that much process. That's kind of it. It's nothing really too exciting on the sheet of paper. It's kind of if players reverse sweep, do I need to have an extra point in there? Do I need to if a player runs down the wicket a lot, maybe throw in a wide one? All this kind of stuff just goes on that sheet of paper. There's no real like. It's not just me like signing my autograph 10 times. writing little doodles down. It's just boring stuff, to be honest.
I suppose as well, once you've had it in your pocket for so many games, does it kind of become like a safety thing as well, like a good luck note as well?
Yeah, it's more of like a, it's quite weird actually, like when you come up a player or someone else's, for example, these franchises, someone else gets brought in the morning of a game and you've not got any notes on them, kind of just revert back to old ways. But you kind of think, oh, I actually don't know what he does. I don't really know if he goes to the offside or to the leg side, or just run down the wicket, just reverse sweep, that kind of stuff in the back of your head. So you just kind of go back to your best ball and back your best wicket taking delivery and just try and stay with that.
So obviously you've been away for a while. You're going to still be away for a little bit longer. What's your favorite way to keep yourself entertained? Like, do you have a TV show that you're watching at the moment? Podcasts, books?
Yes, I'll go no for books. Not a big book guy, as you
Can
can
you
probably
read?
imagine. I can read. I can do the analysis part. That's about it. Books, no. Podcasts, I love. Obviously, the Cricket Scotland podcast. That's number one.
Thank you so much.
Number two is The Basement Yard. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't actually. What's that?
It's hilarious. It's these just two American guys just chat absolute rubbish, and I just have it on in the background if I'm in the hotel, like tidying my room or whatever I'm doing in the hotel room. I have it on in the background, and it just makes me laugh. Passes an hour very quickly. Basically, I quite like the High Performance podcast. Give that a little
Do
bit.
you? A Jake
Yeah,
Humphries fan?
enjoy that one. And also, series, TVCs, I always end up rewatching the whole of Breaking Bad. Love that. That's my go-to.
That's
And then,
such a good option.
yeah, I love that. Office US, I love that. That's my comfort one. And then new one I've started, and I think I'm on the last like two or three episodes, is Succession.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've not watched that, but it looks pretty good.
It's really good, yeah. It's really good. It's getting a little bit samey, like kind of each plot's the same, but yeah, I'd really recommend it. It's pretty funny.
I'll add it to my watch list. I'll give it a go.
Yeah, it's really, I think you need to give it like a, you need to invest yourself in it. You can't just watch one episode because it's not really like that. You need to, right, I'm going to give it a season and then you'll enjoy it.
Okay,
And
so a slow burner kind of thing.
yeah, you can't be on your phone though, like on TikTok or whatever, and watch it at the same time. You need to be like invested. That's my advice for it.
Do you usually watch TikTok while you're watching TV?
Yeah, I'm bad for
How does your
TikTok.
brain not explode?
I know. I'm bad for TikToks in the hotel. I just send them to like Crossy all day.
Does he reply? Or are you one of those people who sends the TikToks for your friend to watch, and then Crossy's one of those people who just does not watch a single one of them?
Nah, it's normally all right because I've got really good banter. So like whatever TikTok is, it's normally pretty funny. But yeah, the ones that he sends me aren't all that bad, all that good. Sorry.
So I'm hearing you're hilarious, Crossy's dull.
Correct.
Okay, get that in the podcast notes. What's on your For You page? Like, what are you watching?
There's a lot of golf. There's a lot of football. There's a lot of like comedy stuff, like comedic acts. A lot of like. There's actually a lot of like motivational kind of mental preparation of games and stuff, or like Navy SEALs stuff. It's quite a good variation. But yeah,
Interesting.
I'm bad for it. Like when I'm trying to get to sleep and I can't sleep, I'll just go on TikTok. I find so much like, and I always have these like stupid facts that have just pop into my head from TikToks and stuff. The boys are like, why do you know that?
Oh,
Why
I
do you not
read
know?
it somewhere. That's what you say,
Yeah, I
isn't
read
it?
it somewhere, yeah. And like a lot of live music as well. Big fan of music. So there's always like it's more I'm more into like 80s, 90s. And
Okay.
there's always like live performances of like Love Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, and there's always like these performances, the Cranberries, all that. I love all them. So
Yeah, the
there's always
Cranberries
like
are having a big moment on TikTok at the moment, aren't they?
So I love all that stuff. And it's just one video after another, I'm just bad. I need to delete the app, to be honest.
Put the time limit on.
No, I don't want to do that because then I'll just get angry. And I'll like go on my iPad or something.
You need to work out like child lock, but for yourself.
What a lock.
Yeah. If there's any developers out there listening.
Exactly, get a water lock on it.
Yeah. So speaking of music, you're in the car, you're on the aux. What are you putting on?
I am Scotland team DJ. I
Are
may just throw
you?
it. I am.
Okay.
So I'm always in charge of the speaker on the coach. I feel like my best asset as a DJ is I always get the vibe right. So like if it's like early morning training, it's more like mellow, chilled out tunes. Probably go Fleetwood Mac, and then if it's like game day, pump it up a little bit, get some like 2005 bangers on, and then yeah, I like my music. I like my music. So, but yeah, Fleetwood Mac, favorite band, and just I love Red Hot Chili Peppers as well. The first band I ever saw live, actually.
Really? Where was it?
It was at Sunderland. It's also the first time I've ever been punched in the face. It was during, I think it was like Can't Stop, and then it went into like a mosh pit, and pretty stupidly I was wearing a Scotland top, and it was all these like middle-aged men drunk, and I was pretty young, and yeah, I don't know why someone just hit me in the head, but anyway,
Oh.
but no, that's kind of my two go-tos: Fleetwood Mac, Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're my two go-tos.
So, if you're forced into karaoke, are you singing Fleetwood Mac or Red Hot Chili Peppers?
No, actually, this is I had my initiation for Derbyshire last year. And your initiation, you have to sing a song, no lyrics, you're not allowed any not auto tune. What's like
The
backup
changing rooms have got a proper set
music?
up.
Yeah. No backup music, no lyrics. Need to know a song like off by heart. And I actually went for Mario, Let Me Love You.
Wow.
Yeah, I went real intimate. Had a couple of backup singers for the chorus, and yeah, really good job.
God, I wish if the Derby social media admin is listening to this, could we please have that clip?
It was pre-season. It was
Oh,
pre-season,
that's an absolute nightmare.
end of a pre-season tour, and everyone had a few beers, and that was the initiation night. It was good fun. I lost though. I lost. One of the youngsters came up and sang American Pie, and knew it. The whole thing, the whole way through, everyone went absolutely wild. I was sitting in the corner, absolutely fuming.
You've absolutely been outdone.
And a fair play to a youngster coming in doing that on his first tour. So you got to hold your hands up sometimes.
Yeah. When greatness is right in front of you, all you can do is recognize it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But I'd say my performance is a solid 8 out of 10.
Okay. We'll have to mic you up at some point.
At some point, not right now, but
Not right
yes,
now. Not
some
with your
point maybe.
cold. You can't
Exactly,
disturb the
exactly.
vocal cords.
The acoustics in this room's not the greatest as well, so.
No, exactly. We need a perfect performance to get that 8 out of 10. What is your biggest cricket ick?
My biggest cricket ick. Do you know what's a good one? And I don't know why. I think a lot of people in the West do it.
Okay.
They push their pads down really far low, like really all the way down to like the bottom of their shoe, and then the bottom of it's like flapping about
Oh.
instead of, yeah, I don't know why it's like people in the West do it a lot. So for example, you're like pretty much your tongue of your shoe is supposed to, like your pad's supposed to go to the bottom of that, but they'll put it over that and like the whole way down the shoe, and then the bottom of the pad like flapping about if you're running between the wickets. Mike English is quite bad for it.
Oh,
I'm
at
gonna
it.
call him. Yeah, I'm gonna call him out. Great batter, great player, great bloke. But yeah, I'm not sure about the way he wears his pads. I reckon that's number one, you know.
Mikey English.
Not just Mike. That's not my cricket ick, Mikey English. Just the way he wears his pads. I'm going for that one.
Yeah, good. With cricket being your favourite sports play, second to golf,
No, no,
perhaps.
no. Football. Football's second.
Okay, so cricket, football, golf.
Yeah.
You can't say any of those things. What's your other
Okay.
favourite sport to watch?
Oh, that's a good one. Other favorite sport. Can I do this? This comes up on my TikTok a lot as well, and I think it might technically count as a sport. It's that slap challenge.
You're going to
You
have
know,
to give me a little bit of an explanation on that
so
one.
it's pretty much two people like over the podium, and they have a shot each of slapping each other as hard as they can.
Okay.
It's a ridiculous sport, but it's very entertaining. And I think you have to try and knock the other person out with a slap. So they have like 10 seconds to recover, and then they get their shot on the next person. It's a big coin toss, to be fair, to get the first slap in. Big advantage. But yeah, it comes up on my TikTok a lot, and I end up watching, like, going in a proper spiral of watching every single video. So I'm counting that as a sport.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I'm a bit bamboozled by that answer, but
if you're not counting that as a sport, I'll go for boxing.
Boxing. Okay, well, it's basically the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
A little bit more skill in boxing, I think. A little bit.
What would you rather compete in, boxing or getting slapped?
I think I'd have a good slap in me. Yeah, I'll go for slapping. I think boxing is a bit too brutal. I don't mind getting a slap. I've had a few slaps in my life, so mainly from Crossy for bowling a wide or something. So I think I'll take the slap.
Okay, well, I think we'll leave it there, but thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
You are most welcome. Well, I don't know what I was expecting to talk about with Mark today, but it definitely wasn't slapping on his TikTok for You page. So there we go. You learn something new every day, and I have been educated. And next up, we have Fergus Lee's Tim Preston-Jones, who's telling me all about the Over-60s World Cup. Tim Preston-Jones, welcome to the Cricket Scotland podcast. How are you today?
Good, thanks, Clara. Thank you.
Wonderful. And you're off to India so soon. How are you feeling about that?
Exciting. It seems to have been on the cards for a long time now. And, you know, 9 months ago, you're like, okay, it's next year. And all of a sudden, this time next week, we head off to India. So it is exciting. And it's a long time since I did winter nets as well, but because it's in India, we've actually had to do nets out of season. And, you know, a warm-up is a challenge at my age without doing nets through the winter.
So about that, for those who aren't sure what we're talking about today, unless they have read the title, in which case they'll be perfectly aware, we're talking about the Over-60s World Cup that is taking place in Chennai, kind of from the middle of February to the beginning of March. And Tim, am I right in thinking you're the captain of this team?
You'd be wrong to think I was the captain.
I'm wrong. Oh God, I'm so rarely wrong. Oh
yeah. It's not a Scotland team. It's the rest of the world team. So that's simply because we don't have, or we're not aware of enough people of that age playing competitive cricket still. But maybe we'll come back to that. So, but of the 17-man squad, 9 of us play Scotland. And the captain is a guy called John Courtney, who I've never met because the rest of the squad come from the rest of the world. And some of those are expats, Spain, Malta, Gibraltar, I think. But there's also, I know there's someone from Sweden. I think there's someone from Kenya. In fact, the Kenyan is an ex-international. I know he's got 50-odd caps for Kenya. Played in a couple of World Cups in his own right. So he's probably the star of the team.
You'd hope. You never know. There might be some grassroots specials in there.
Yeah, but until we get into that first net session in 8 days' time, don't really know.
Yeah, that's exactly. So I was going to say the eagle-eyed fans of the Over-60s World Cup will have noticed that there wasn't a Scotland team. But as you say, there is a rest of the world team, 9 Scottish players. So we can claim that. And that's the 2024 World Cup. And we were chatting a little bit before we started recording about the 2026 Over-60s World Cup and how much you and Scotland in general would love to put out a full Scotland side. So if there's people out there who were born in, was it 1966?
The way it works is, so for this year's 24 World Cup, you need to be 60 or over in this year. So you need to have been born in 64 or earlier. So, And I think, you know, in having this chat, I think one of the things that we would most like to get out of this is bridge the gap in Scotland that exists between good club cricketers kind of getting to maybe 35, 40 And I know some will play for longer. And then having nowhere to go and play competitive cricket. Whereas in England, there is over 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, it's kind of branded now, a lot of it, as Masters cricket across the world. Like in many other sports, you'll see it in golf and football and hockey and tennis, where this age cricket is becoming more of a thing. But we want to really find cricketers who are probably in their 50s, and certainly anyone who was born 66 or earlier, so that when it comes to 2026, which is not, it's not confirmed, but it's likely to be in South Africa, we would like to get, you know, aspire to get a Scotland team in there. You know, we've got nine of a squad of 17 who are Scottish this year. We know of three or four active 40 club players who will be old enough then. But there must be others out there. So, and if you think down the ages, the logical way of recruiting over 60s cricketers is you've got an over 50s team, and before that, an over 40s team. And Carl Coetzer, who's played two or three games now for the 40 club, and his brother Sean Coetzer, are really keen to help kind of promote this in Scotland and encouraging, you know, good competitive club cricketers, maybe some international cricketers, to consider these options so that actually we can grow. It's not just the standard, but actually it's the amount of players. Because, you know, if you've only got 17 players and you're all in the squad, then there's no competition for places and what happens with injuries. And unfortunately, the older you get, the more injuries you sustain. And it takes longer to recover from. So it is probably, that's the most important thing. And you know, if anybody is interested, and don't think you have to be a superstar at this stage because you don't, then through either Colin Neal and the 40 Club Scotland or myself, the other name I should mention is Jerry Smith, who plays at Helensburgh. And Jerry was the only one of the nine of us who played in the last World Cup in the Gold Coast, Australia. But we would love to hear from you and work out how we can integrate you into cricket in Scotland.
I mean, yeah, it sounds great. And we'll put as many details as we can about getting in touch, about joining that squad, in the description of this podcast. But I just want to jump back to Fergusy for a second. I've not come up with this term, but Fergusy seems to be the quote Paisley Youth conveyor belt to that world stage. So how has it been for you as president of Fergusy, which is a little fact that we didn't mention earlier, to see these people come through the ranks and perform so well? Does it make you proud? Are you excited for the future of Scottish cricket?
I think we're all, the whole club is enormously proud. So certainly I am. And we won the national championship year before last. And we won it. If you take our overseas pro out, I think of the other 10 people, they'd all come through the kind of junior ranks. And you know, the one person I could, that is, should be accredited more than anyone else, is Sam Scott. Sam Scott has done a lot of managerial and coaching across Scotland. Doesn't do it now because Sam's got 10 years on me, but is still hugely active with the Fergusy Juniors. And it has been a bit of a conveyor, but it isn't always like that, and one can never be complacent. You're always trying to look to encourage, you know, more and more in. But when you can win a national title and you know they've all come through the junior ranks, you know you're kind of doing something right. We had three of the under 19 squad recently in South Africa. I was speaking to Kazim Khan and Azair Ahmed. They landed in Edinburgh on Sunday morning, came back to South Africa, and they were at our net session at 12 o'clock in Glasgow.
Oh wow.
That is keenness for you. And talking to them, congratulating them, and they're kind of saying, what a great experience. But the third one was Bahada. Bahada came over from Afghanistan as a refugee. He goes out and knocks, whatever it was, 76 off 50 odd balls, which probably won that game with that late.
Yeah, I think we could say that.
Yeah, look, we got man of the match, so we can probably credit him with that. So,
yeah.
So even given the opportunity to refugees coming in and it's good. And we've had a lot of dialogue. Cricket's gotten a bit out on the road over the last year, and it's trying to finance the clubs, trying to have voluntary support, not just in running the cricket items of it and coaching, but you know, there's grounds need looking after, there's machinery that needs buying, there are bars to be run, there's so much to be done. You rely on all that community.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about your cricketing life, I suppose. It's been super interesting, and obviously best of luck when you go out to Chennai. And I will be following along, maybe not watching everything at 3:30 in the morning, but I will be staying on top of it.
That's great. No, we appreciate that. And look, we'll obviously do our best. We all want to do well. We want to have a good time and put us in a stronger position for cricket in 2024 and then onwards, and hopefully the 2026 World Cup as well.
Best of luck to Tim Preston-Jones and the rest of the world team, and of course to Wattie and Scotland men in their upcoming fixtures. If you want to watch the Over 60s World Cup, you can get that on YouTube, and the Cricket World Cup League 2 fixtures will be available to watch on ICCTV. So that's almost 24 hours a day of cricket. And rather excitingly, we now have an email. So if you have any stories, any suggestions, anything you want us to cover, please let us know at podcast@cricketscotland.com. That is podcast@cricketscotland.com. That was quite a mission to read out loud, actually. That is all from me today. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and we will see you next week. Have an excellent weekend. Bye-bye.